As Molly said, my name's Cassie. I go to Clarkson. I'm a senior there. I've been attending New Hope since I was a freshman. I think my first week at school, I found this church. And I've also been a leader in IV since maybe my sophomore year or something like that. So I'm currently a vice president at Clarkson and the small group leader coordinator. I actually studied abroad all last year as well, and I was even involved in IV there too. I was able to participate in a leadership program, largely supported by this church, so I'm really, really thankful for that. And I mean, as Molly already said, I'm really thankful for the ways that this church has supported college students in a lot of ways, but especially through InterVarsity. That's the way that it's impacted my life the most. As some of you may know, I also got baptized recently, I think 4 weeks ago. Yeah. And then I was immediately presented with this opportunity, and I thought, yeah, all right, let's do this, God. So I'm really excited and pretty nervous. I don't know if you can hear that. To share what God has put on my heart the past few weeks as I prepared to talk to all you guys. So I'm going to talk a little bit about perseverance today and what perseverance looks like for a Christ follower. I've titled the message, Tú Puedes Con Todo, or Con Dios. And I don't know how many of you guys speak Spanish well or just a little tiny bit, but I'll translate that for you later and I'll explain more about how that ties in. So I'm going to start with just a story about myself. I played softball all my life. When I was in high school, I was a junior. I was on the varsity team, and I didn't play much. I spent most of my time on the bench, and I knew I wasn't the most talented or the most skilled in the whole team, and I didn't play on the best teams outside of school, but the way that I was raised, I knew that I was in control of how much effort I gave, so I knew I was going to be the hardest working one on that team. So I joined a local gym, and every day we'd have practice for 2 hours, and then I'd walk down to the gym, and I'd work out for an hour, and then I'd have my dad pick me up from there, and about 3 times a week, he would drive me to another practice with different teams. You know, I would get in touch with coaches and say, like, hey, can I join your team to practice? Can I do this? Just trying to put in all the effort that I could to try and get to play my senior season. So my senior year, I got a chance to play, and then after that, I started the rest of the year, and I got to see my perseverance pay off again at the end when I received Most Improved Player Award. So that was really cool. Like, I put in all the effort, and I persevered through it, and I got to see it pay off. And I think that's a really good example of perseverance as many of us would think of it, maybe, and how it's defined in the dictionary. The Oxford Languages definition to persevere is to continue in a course of action, even in the face of difficulty, with little or no prospect of success. And this type of perseverance, it describes our ability to apply our own strength to a situation in order to get through it. But what I want to talk about today is a little different. It's the kind that we see in the Bible, where we see Christ followers again and again persevere with God. And that partnership with God is what matures them, and it gives them everything that they need to get through the situation at hand. So you can see there's a little bit of a different path to persevering through a situation. Instead of you going directly to the situation, we partner with God, and God gives us everything that we need. And the passage that I want to look at today to give us some insight into that, just one of many examples, is in James chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. Some context for that. It's written by James, who's the brother of Jesus, and he's writing to all of the Jewish Christians who had just left Jerusalem because Stephen was just killed. He was stoned in the streets. And these Jewish Christians are going to go out and they're going to continue to face persecution like that because what they're saying, the gospel, is still pretty radical and people are pretty upset about it. So James writes this letter to give them some pretty compact advice on how to keep going and how they can persevere through all the hard things that they're going to go through. So let's read James 1, 1 through 8. James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, referring to the Jewish Christians. Greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. So right off, in the first 8 verses, James gets right to it. And I'm going to unpack that a little bit, but first, would you just pray with me for our time together? God, I am just so thankful for this opportunity to share your word and what you've put on my heart. And I'm thankful that you've brought everybody together, whether it's in person in these different rooms or online. God, I'm so thankful for the ability to meet. A lot of things are changing and kind of being taken away, but you remain constant above all of that. So I just pray that your presence would be here in this room, in the fellowship hall, and in everyone's living rooms or wherever they're watching from. And I pray that you would just work in everybody's hearts just to hear what you have to say for them this morning. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So what the passage is saying, it's not concerned directly with the trials and hardships that they're facing. It only really mentions them once. But what it's really concerned about is this pervasive mindset that's going to look beyond them. So we're not responsible for coming up with all of the tools that we need to get through the trial. But instead, he talks a lot about persisting and focusing on God and what he promises to do in us through them. And then by that perseverance, God's power is made perfect and complete and whole in us until we lack nothing. So in essence, it's not about us persevering with all that we have, but it's us persevering with God and all that he has for us. And to me, that's just like the best news. That it's totally not about us persevering with all we have, because I don't have a lot sometimes. But persevering with God and all that he has, and I happen to know that he has a lot. So that's like really, really encouraging. But then James also, he gives us maybe some more insight into like how can we do that. In verse 2, he says to consider it pure joy. And notice he doesn't say to feel joy because of your trials. That would be a little unreasonable. But he says to consider it joy. So in your mind, in your heart, you declare it joy because of what we know is true, that God is working through the hardships. I could try and put this more in my own words, but joy can be a little complicated, and why try when it's put pretty well by Paul in one of his letters in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He shows how our joy isn't dependent on what we feel outwardly, but because we are being renewed inwardly through the testing of faith. So we declare our joy from what is seen when we fix our eyes not on what is seen, which is the trial, but on what is unseen. And he says, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And that's in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. So if we fix our eyes on what is unseen yet eternal, that's the God who loves us, whose graciousness is just unfathomable, then we're going to have something to rejoice in, always. So declaring joy in any hardship will always be possible. And the second thing that James says in verse 4, he says, to let perseverance finish its work in you. In this phrase, I see the need to trust God, trust that he's working in us, which means you have to let go of our control on the situation and all of our hard work attitudes, that if we just, you know, put our nose to the grindstone, we'll get through it. So we let go of all that and we just lean fully on God. And as James put it, we do this so that we may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. We need to, in essence, just let go of trying to give it our all to our circumstances in our life, and instead give all that we have to our God, knowing that he gives us everything we need, and he's leading us and transforming us in every circumstance. And then James goes on to say that when we lack things, we should ask God. In verses 5 through 8, the example is about wisdom. And James is very clear, though, that we must ask God without doubting. And to me, this seems a bit harsh when he says that person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. And maybe that's not your reactions, but when he says to ask without doubting, that seems like a really tall order. Like, I don't know how I'm supposed to not have doubts or questions. I sort of put them in the same category. And there were a lot of times in my life, especially this past year studying abroad, when I let that sort of keep me from going to God. When I thought, well, God doesn't want my doubts, so why bother? Because sometimes that's just a lot of what I have. But I don't think that's at all what's being said. Instead, I think he's saying to believe in who God is and trust that he's above all, even your doubts. And for me, what this looks like is when I go to God, I bring my doubts, but I lay them before him and I say, I don't want these. So take these and just leave nothing but the faith that I have. And in verse 8, he says that this person who holds on to their doubt is double-minded. And so I think that gives us more insight into what James is saying, like I just described, that we can't hold tight to our doubts and hold tight to our belief in God and expect that to work, because then you're just being pulled in completely opposite directions. And God asks for all of us. So you have to let go of one. And I'm going to let go of the doubts because I prefer God. So this is what perseverance looks like with God. That joy that comes from God, we have to declare that. And asking God for what we lack, and trusting God. So these are the pieces that can sort of shift us from the mindset of, I can do this with all that I have, to, I can do this with God. And this is, a good example of this mindset and practice, and what it looks like maybe in some other words, is in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul's talking about this physical ailment that he's been given, a thorn in his side is what he calls it. And he's been struggling with it a lot, and he begged God to remove it from him. But instead, God says to him in verse 9, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And Paul's response to that, he writes, is, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And to me, this reply from Paul, therefore I will boast and I'll delight in my weaknesses, that shows the first two points of what James was talking about pretty well, to declare joy and to trust God. And this response to trials and hardships, that mindset, as soon as God said, nope, not going to remove it, his immediate response was to declare joy and trust God. That is what I'm striving towards as I try to grow in perseverance. Like, that's what I want, because I know that that mindset and that relationship with God, if I have that, he's going to persevere with me through any trial. Nothing is too big. So a lot of the things that I mentioned, trying to learn how to just consider it joy and trusting God and asking him for what you lack. It can be pretty personal, feels very individual. But I think it's unrealistic to expect ourselves to grow in those things individually and just go home and sit in your room and work on declaring it joy and trusting God and all that. Maybe that's the goal, to be unwavering, where you can always do that by yourself. But I mean, I know I'm not capable of that all the time, so I don't see a point in pretending. And I know that I need a community of believers. I need other believers so that when I'm not so good at declaring joy, other people can declare joy, for me. They can point to that and say, this is why you can declare joy. When they see me not trusting God, they can point and say, let go of that. You got to trust God. And that's why we have other believers. We have this church. We have the church at large. We have our community around us. It's to be always pointing each other towards this type of perseverance. One that's rooted in who God is and the transformation that he's orchestrating within us. In Colossians 3:16, it says, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. So we're here as a church body to teach and admonish each other, always encouraging each other in praise and seeking wisdom, and we're reminding each other that we're not called to persevere with all that we have, and apply all we have to a situation, but instead to persevere with God. And speaking of community, there's a picture of my life group from the Netherlands while I was studying abroad. And in the center there, you can see the leaders. That's Mari Paz and Moti. And then there's my face right there. So they were from Costa Rica, actually, although it was in the Netherlands. And you can see it's a pretty international group. But one day we were gathering, and they always had pens out for people to, you know, write notes and whatnot as we're talking. And I picked up this one, and it says, "Tú puedes con todo." Now, if you don't know what that means, my Spanish is pretty rusty, but I picked it up and I translated the words like individually. It says, "You can with all." And my first reaction was, well, that's not a sentence. That doesn't make any sense. So I asked about it, and they said, oh, it's a motivational phrase. It's supposed to like encourage you, like when we say to each other, you can do it, like just give it your all, you'll get through this like tough time. And that's what we say to each other a lot. And I didn't say it at the time, but I thought to myself, like, that's just not very encouraging. I had a pretty tough year while I was there, and like this group was a pretty encouraging to me, but this pen was not. And so later that night, I had said to one of them, I said, like, you know, it'd be much better if this pen said, "Tú puedes con Dios," and Dios means God. And to me, that is encouraging. That gets me believing in it, believing in the pen, that it's going to help me, and just motivated to tackle the next thing. If I had to pick between pens, I think I'm going to pick "Tú puedes con Dios" every time over "Tú puedes con todo." So we had this conversation at the end there, and she let me keep the pen, which is very nice. And it's a really good reminder to me that when I look at it and I think and I read it directly, it's like, you can with all. And then I picture myself sort of crossing that out of my journal and writing with God instead. And I hope that it can also be a reminder to you. Maybe the pen image won't stick, but just in some way that you can with all is just put that aside and pick up instead, you can with God. So I hope that when you're walking into the next trial and you have the choice of what type of perseverance that you're going to choose to go into that, that you can pick up the one that says you can with God. Because to run with the pen analogy, that pen never runs out of ink. The other pen, "Tú puedes con todo," is one of those pens where you keep it in your drawer even though it's out of ink and never works. It's very unreliable, and you keep it for some reason, and you keep picking it up when you need to write something quickly and it doesn't write. It's very inconvenient. So instead, just always keep that "Tú puedes con Dios" pen at hand. I know that this idea of relying on God instead of like hard work and grit can go against a lot of what we hear today. There's a lot of like motivational quotes and speeches and like how to make it and your like side hustle and all this. And a lot of what people are saying about like good habits on how to persevere, they're not bad advice, but it's often completely reliant on ourselves to provide all the things that we need to get there, like the energy and strength and whatnot. And humans, in my opinion, are not the most reliable source of strength and energy and motivation. But God, however, very reliable source of those things. And he promises to provide that to us and build us up if we walk with him. So as I finish up here with one more story, I guess I'd like to invite the worship team up. I used to rely pretty heavily on that like work harder mindset. When I was growing up, I was always taught to give 110% in everything that you did. It's pretty common in sports. Like your effort is something that you can control, so give all that you have. And this got me a lot of places. It got me to where I am today. But when I began college, my life became a little bit more full and a lot more complex, and I just found that I didn't have 110% to give to everything. Between each individual class and to being involved in InterVarsity and to sports and to relationships with individual people, I found that I was requiring about 600%. And some days I woke up and I felt like I had like 60%. So that was just a really tough realization and rattled me a lot. And I didn't really know where to go from there because my go-to method to get through things was just not working. And I don't know when my mindset started to shift, but it did. And I think a lot of it was the people that God brought into my life, including people I've met in this church and through InterVarsity. My mindset started to shift from myself coming up with everything that I needed to relying on God to provide the things like strength and understanding or patience to accomplish just everyday life things and the bigger things. For me, practically, this starts with the way that I talk about the harder things in my life, or even the simple things if they're feeling heavy. If I talk about them like God is going to get me through this, instead of talking about all that I don't have to put towards it, I find that that gets me going on the right track. And what's really important is actually how I talk to God about those things too. So that's just one way that gets me started to put down the I can with all idea of perseverance to I can with God. So I wanted to take a few minutes to reflect on what this looks like in our own lives, and which perseverance do you find yourself relying on? Is it you can with all that you have, or you can with God and all that he has? And how can you swap pens? Are there ways where you think that could be helpful for you in that way? And maybe if you're not yet a follower of Christ, but you find yourself seeing that relying on all that you have to persevere, less than ideal, then and you want to turn instead to rely on God, whose power and love just never runs out, I'd encourage you to take this time to invite God into your life and invite him to persevere with you and in you through anything. God, I thank you that your pen never runs out of ink. That when we reach for you, when we go to lean on you, that you're always there. And I just pray that everybody here today and listening or watching some other time would truly know that and believe in that you are there, and you're there to help us through everything that life throws at us. And God, I pray that you would just help to grow this different mindset, this mindset that goes against what a lot of the world shows us, that if instead we just don't try to give all that we have to a situation, but we just try to give all that we have to you, and trust that you're going to be working in us and giving us whatever we need to be doing everyday things and doing your will. So God, I just pray that you would be helping us all to think about that this week, and that we would seek to point each other towards that as well. We would just step out and encourage each other. Encourage each other to rejoice and to trust you and help each other ask for things that we lack. God, we just thank you for your goodness, and you're just so far above any of our hardships and anything like that, that it doesn't matter the circumstance. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.